Now, the reading of God's Word. I'll be reading from Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 11. May you be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. In the year 1620, William Bradford set sail from England on the Mayflower with about 110 people. There were 50 members of that team that were separatists, about 60 English settlers. They had left England and in an effort to find a place to exercise religious freedom, they had ended up in Holland. In Holland, they found the culture to be such that it was causing them, or at least giving them opportunity to drift. And in the process of drifting, they thought, where could we go? Where could we find a place to have, if you will, a religious experiment where we could go and live in freedom? And they thought of going to North America. They were called Puritans because they wanted the church to be purified. Unfortunately, wherever Christians go, the church is not purified. Because wherever we go, we're there. But they did indeed hop on the Mayflower in 1620 and journey across the Atlantic, landed there in North America up on our northeast coastline. And they were not going to make it, but a kind Indian tribe took them under their wing and helped them understand how to plant their crops with a dead fish so that it would actually fertilize the seed and would produce a crop. And that those Indians took them on and helped them make it through the first winter. And then the crops began to grow. And in the fall, they were so excited with the bounty that God had given them. They got together and they had a feast. They had roasted corn. They had wild turkey, fowl. They had deer. They had a phenomenal feast. And they called it Thanksgiving. They were thankful to God that He had brought them through. They made it. They survived. They not only survived, they had bounty. They had enough to share. And they hosted about 90 of those Indians from that tribe. And in a real act of genuine, real-time thankfulness, said, come and celebrate with us what God has done. Well, that was Thanksgiving. They had a lot to be thankful to the Lord for as He took care of them. And I want us to be thankful this evening. And so if you would return your eyes to the text, I want you to immediately notice three specific things that God the Father has done for us. And if you think about it, so many times we think of Jesus in our salvation, and I in no way going to try to talk you out of exalting Christ in your salvation. But I do want to bring your attention to some of the things that God the Father has done for us. You'll notice in verse 12, giving thanks to the Father. That verb is a present active verb, giving. It's that constant action of giving thanks to the Father. Now listen to what the Father has done. He has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. How did He do that? He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. So what's the first thing that God the Father did is He qualified us. He qualified us. It means He made us fit. It means He made us adequate for. I'll never forget in fifth grade, our family was qualified for welfare. I don't know if you've ever been on welfare or if you've ever been on food stamps, or you might be right now. But I remember when we were qualified for welfare, it was a process. My father was very, very ill and was out of work, and he could not work. And I remember my parents qualified for welfare, and they would send us. When I say they, I mean our government. Our government would send us big blocks of cheese and bags of potatoes and cans of powdered eggs. And that was our ration, if you will. We qualified for welfare. We were on welfare for about 6 months until my father got well and was able to work again. It was a very difficult time. But as I recognized that the Father has qualified me, has qualified us, or have you been qualified? Have you been qualified by the Father? Has He seen your life, and has He seen how you live your life, and has He convinced you to be a sinner, someone who's in need of outside help, someone who cannot save themselves? You've tried. You've tried as hard as you know how to try, and you have not been able to be perfectly righteous. You've sought to do acts of righteousness. You've sought in some ways to pay for your own sin, but you've never been able to bring the ledger to balance and to surplus. Every word, every thought, every deed weighed against the scale of perfect righteousness. Not only things that we've done that we weren't supposed to do, but things we have not done which we were to do, to love our neighbor as ourself, to love someone as Christ has loved me. Part of the qualification process is this sinfulness that we wear, this sinfulness that each and every one of us must deal. It beats within our soul. We're qualified. You know, I was thinking about the two criminals who were crucified on either side of Jesus there in Luke 23. I want you to hear what one of them says. He says, one of the criminals who were hanged railed at Jesus, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." He was qualified for the kingdom in that moment. Christ made him fit by the Father's will through the act of Christ. I want us to recognize that, first of all, we were qualified. Qualified for what? To share. It means to participate in the inheritance. It means of the lot. We were qualified to be of the lot. In other words, we get a piece of the inheritance. Now, I want you to look at the three verbs I'm going to focus on, and I want you to notice their tense. First of all, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light? He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. Qualified, delivered, transferred. Past tense. Past tense. They're all completed. The action's completed. God has done in Christ for us. It's already finished. He qualified us to share, to have a lot in the inheritance of the saints. He's delivered us. That word delivered means rescued. Whenever you hear the word saved or salvation, I want you to hear another word along with it. I want you to hear the word help. Have you ever heard someone cry, "Help!" That's the word delivered. God revealed to us that we were sinful. And we said, "Woe is me." That's the Bible's way of saying, "Help! I need your help." And God delivered us. He delivered us from the domain of darkness, this blindness in which people wander and grope. And what did He do? He transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. I love that word beloved or beloved, but I want you to know what it literally says in the Greek. It says, of the Son of His love. Of the Son of His love. The object of His affection. Jesus Christ is the object of God's affection. You see, love always requires an object. Thursday, you might have said, "Oh, Mother, I loved your turkey, your dressing, your fill in the blank, pumpkin pie." Love always requires an object. And Jesus is the object of God's love. And we are the object of Jesus' love. Because of our relationship to Christ, we are objects of God's affection. God looks at us with delight, with joy, with satisfaction, with a sense of fulfillment, with a sense of, there goes another trophy. There's a trophy of my affection. There she is. There he is. A trophy of my affection. The Son of His love. I have a friend that sometimes when you first meet him, you think he's quite odd. And in fact, he is odd. He says the phrase, "Thank you, Father," as if the Father were present. And the first 50 times I heard him say it, I just shimmied a little bit. He and I were in the middle of a situation, and I was sharing my heart with them in a very vulnerable way, and he simply said, "Thank you, Father." And at first I looked around a little bit. I thought maybe a priest had stepped in. I thought maybe an elderly person. He said it with such a reality, such a conviction. "Thank you, Father." And Rick Layman continues to say that phrase, "Thank you, Father." He says it because he has a real-time, intimate relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son, as appropriated by the Holy Spirit. Very meaningful. I ended a sermon a few weeks ago on a Sunday morning by telling you a story about Coach Bubba Church. Coach Bubba Church used to always say one thing every day, no matter what. He would say, "God is good." He would say, "God is good." Rick Layman says, "Thank you, Father." Jesus was walking, and he encountered 10 lepers. And in the process of his encounter with them, he made them well. And of the 10, only one returned to say thank you to Jesus. Jesus was struck by that. Jesus was struck by the fact that he would heal many and only one would be thankful. Whenever you see Jesus marveling at something in the Gospels, you need to marvel at it as well. Jesus is marveling at the thought that a person could be healed and not be thankful for the healer. If you have been qualified and you have been delivered and you have been transferred, I want to invite you to say thank you, Father, this evening. To stand up right where you are and to give thanks for God, to God for what He's done in your life. It may simply be the phrase, thank you, Father. It may be a bit of a story. But I would love to hear your story tonight. I want to spoil myself with your stories of thankfulness to our Father. So if you would please stand and thank God the Father for what He's done for you. We'll have a time of sharing now. You know, I've been thinking about this for a while, and I am so grateful for my family and for my friends that God has placed around me to protect me. They lean up against me in such a way that I can't get out of line, though I try. And there's a beautiful accountability to having people who love you well and who lean into you and say, that looks like a mistake to me. You need to think about that and pray about that. What a blessing to have this surrounding group of family and friends who do that for me. And so many of you, it's wonderful to never go anywhere in the world anonymously. Doesn't matter, walking through the streets of Chicago a couple years ago, just out of nowhere, someone calls my name. Walking through an airport in Laos, there they are. Seems impossible. I am very, very thankful to the Lord for the place He has placed me with the people He's placed around me. I cannot begin to imagine my life without the people He's placed in my life. Very thankful to God.